the rest of the story. Thailand was called Siam in those days, and Mongkut was its king. Mongkut was the king and the king and I. You remember Anna and the king of Siam. Anna was the pretty tutor he hired for his children, the tutor with whom he fell in love. One of those children, his son Rama the Fifth, at the age of 15, became King Chulalongkorn, and it's with him, Chulalongkorn, that our story begins. When Chulalongkorn came to the throne in 1868, Thailand was stifled by the archaic traditions of 1,000 years. Servants were slaves. Subjects were allowed to approach their monarchs only on hands and knees. Should anybody so much as whisper in the presence of royalty, he would be executed. And for anyone daring to touch a king or a queen, I said for anyone daring to touch a king or a queen, there awaited an execution which you would not want me to describe. King Chulalongkorn traveled enough to see what life was like in more modern societies, in Singapore and India, in Java and England and Russia. He recognized the better life beyond his ancient monarchy. But though he wanted to make changes, he dared not. Both France and England coveted his country, and he feared that any modernization of his society, any freedom for his subjects, might weaken his already precarious position. And so he tolerated the ancient, archaic customs and mores and traditions, rather than risk any change that might breed restiveness among his people. The young King Chulalongkorn's first wife, and forever his favorite, was Princess Sananda. Their marriage resulted in 3 beautiful children, and one day she and the children were boating at Pangpain. The royal yacht capsized and overturned, and the princess and her 3 children drowned. Well, out of the king's anguish in 1873 came an immediate resolve to create a new Thailand as a living monument to his dead family. Summarily, the king pronounced an end to slavery. In the days that followed, and for all of his reign of 42 years, King Chulalongkorn founded schools and colleges. He imported reformers in agriculture and medical and financial affairs. The king initiated sweeping democratic reforms. He established postal and telegraph facilities. He built hospitals. He balanced his country's relationships with its neighbors. He built railroads and decreed that no Thai man was ever again to prostrate himself before any potentate. Men would walk erect as men, and in the highest councils of government, their voices would be heard and heeded. History pays unequivocal tribute to the boy king who led Thailand out of the darkness, and the turnabout is traceable without any question to that one day on the river. That day the royal yacht capsized, and all that he then held dear perished. For scores of people had watched that tragedy from the shore, and others from boats in the river had watched in horror, and yet none had dared go to the rescue. Arrogant, antiquated, indefensible custom and tradition had prescribed a terrible death to anyone who might so much as touch a royal person, and thus were a queen and her children left untouched to drown. Now you know what moved ancient Thailand into the 20th century. For now you know the rest of the story.